WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song.
This is the Firefly Funhouse, and I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Fly, my pretties, fly.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
One, two, is this on? Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out. YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in this evening. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have your Amazon Prime linked to your Twitch account, well, that's Twitch Prime. And did you know with Twitch Prime you can get a free sub every month, guys? You can save yourself $5. You want to check and see if you have one? Click the little purple button up at the top of the screen. If you have one, please feel free to use it here. But, you know, if not, that's fine too. You can also subscribe regularly. It's not free, but you're welcome to subscribe to the channel. We would love it if you would. And if you're interested in following channels, you can follow this channel, twitch.tv/WTRLive. Or you can follow my channel, twitch.tv/LinsWard, L-I-N-S-W-R-D, and my Twitter under the same name. You should totally go do that, because I'm trying to get to affiliate, guys. I'm going to keep saying this until I give up, which will probably be in a few minutes. But anyway, fish butts. I want to give you guys fish butts. Come on. Come on, follow the channel, please. I'm going to start streaming more, I promise. I got my internet fixed, I think. Maybe. We'll have to see. I'm on it right now, so we'll see how it goes tonight. But anyway, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
This was such an underrated theme.
Honestly, aside from Motorhead, this is probably his best theme.
Well, he's had both of his songs from Motorhead, and he has King of Kings by Motorhead and The Game by Motorhead, and this was the Chris Warren band.
Honestly, the game one, the current one he has, or not the game one, the King of Kings, that's just ridiculous. This one, like, just fits him.
Very
it's so good. It's got a good beat to it.
It does. We have one other Triple H theme, other than the ones mentioned, coming up later in the show. By the way, follow at Wild Talk Radio Islands, word at Rack Radio Show to tweet us during the show. Or come to the Rack Radio Show with a spiffy new little tweak design at wildtalkradio.com or twitch.tv/WRTRLive to interact with us this evening, because we got stuff to talk about tonight. Coming up afterwards, we're going to do some Fortnite with friends as well.
Yep, we're going to squad up. But yeah, we have stuff to talk about. We have some news. We have NXT. There's a new Fortnite mode that I kind of previewed earlier today. If you missed it and you didn't, go check out my stream. And then we are talking about 25 years of Triple H because he's all over WWE TV. And why shouldn't he be all over our show as well? If he'd like to be a guest, we'd be more than happy to have him. Just saying, Hunter. Please.
You can do the movement command in chat, by the way. There's that, because we're all about the Triple H movement.
Love the Triple H movement. Anyway!
But before we get into anything, I have something that came across my desk just as we were coming on air, and it's an audio-related clip that I want to play for you.
I swear to God, if it's an Amazon Prime thing.
No, but if you have Amazon Prime, link it here to Twitch account called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free by hitting the purple rectangle by the middle of the screen. No, it has nothing to do with Amazon Prime. It has to do with Jeopardy.
Oh.
Apparently, there was a question, WWE-related question on Jeopardy today.
Oh, fun!
So here we go.
This synonym for hernia can also refer
Not this one. It's the next one. It said 5. To go to 510. I went to 510. I wasn't at 510.
What does it stand for 4?
The first W in WWE, where Kofi Kingston and No Way Jose wrestle with issues. Kevin.
What is World?
World Wrestling Entertainment. Right.
He was not sure. He was like, World? Is it a thing? World?
I mean, Kofi Kingston and No Way Jose used to wrestle with issues, but unfortunately they can't anymore. Awkward? Really awkward?
Awkwardness?
And that's kind of a really good transition,
oh,
sadly.
Oh god, you're making that as a transition.
I don't know how else to go into this. So, unfortunately there are a couple more WWE releases. We don't know if this ties into the announcement that happened earlier this week with WWE, where basically they said, anybody that wants out, you're out. Like, they are going to be granting releases for people that want to go. So basically, if they don't want to have to go through and do another round of releases, they would prefer that it's like, hey, if you really want to go, here's your chance. And so one of these might be that, but it might not. There's no confirmation on when it actually happened. The first one, though, we believe from the original mass firing was Cain Velasquez. He was let out of his contract. Apparently things were not going well. That's what I just heard. That's pure speculation. But yes, Cain Velasquez is no longer with WWE.
He was making a lot of money and they don't have a training facility for him to use right now to, you know, learn because it's being used for television. So they're paying him money for nothing and you really can't do that at this point. So here we are.
Yeah, here we are. So he got let out of his contract. He'll probably re-sign if things improve.
No. To answer your question, no.
No, he was not. The other one, which is kind of a surprise, but kind of not, and I'm a little sad that it happened, is Curtis Axel. He was released, and he's the one that we're not entirely sure about if he was a part of the original group or if he took WWE up on the offer to be let out of his contract. He's been there for a long time. He's been a part of many tag teams, many individual teams. Never forget, Axelmania, Brennan Wild.
He's still in the Rumble, brother.
He's still in the Royal Rumble. He's still undefeated in the Royal Rumble. We are going to hold on to that forever.
He signed with them in 2007, so he was there for 13 years.
Yeah, he's there a long time.
So, I mean, he had a run. Hopefully he kept his money and, you know.
I think he did. I think he's been smart with it. Mm-hmm. So, looking forward to see what he does in the future, you know, even if he decides, hey, I'm just going to go home and be a dad, that's totally fine, too, because he's in his late 30s. I think he's actually 40, isn't he?
He's 40. He's one of them. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts, like, a wrestling school or something.
Yeah.
Up in Minnesota.
Yeah, so.
I wouldn't be surprised by that.
Best of luck to him. Mm-hmm. And then we have one more furlough, which is a little bit of a surprise, but a little bit not a surprise again. And that's Gerald Briscoe.
Gerald's position right now is scout.
There's nothing to scout.
And there's nothing to scout, so here we are.
Yeah.
it's very unfortunate. So he's on the close to retiring phase, so him being furloughed, he's not fired. He still has a job. He'll probably be brought back when they need him to scout something, which probably won't be till the fall. Let's be real.
Yeah.
So, staying on that for a second, I had a thought earlier today. So, because there's been some talk about Florida, right? And how they're thinking, they're talking, and how they want to keep their relationship with WWE going. And there's a chance this summer there could be fans even in some small variety, being brought back into sports in Florida as early as June and July. WWE should, and I know they're like, the goal is to run SummerSlam and that'd be the first event in front of people. But here, I thought about this because there's been a lot of talk about Cody and his trademarks and old WCW names. It would be really something if they went to Florida and they ran a show. You can make it a free show or whatever in some sort of stadium or, you know, arena or whatever. Called the Great American Bash. Because it would be fitting. The first gathering would be the Great American Bash. That's just me.
It would be fitting. It would be completely fitting. I don't know. I go back and forth on this. I don't know if anybody's really going to be ready by June. I think people are ready to get out. And I know the orders are being suspended and more states are starting to open up. And I think that I would hope WWE is doing what a lot of businesses are doing, which is taking kind of a wait and see approach. It's like, especially as the states begin to reopen and businesses start to reopen, it's like, okay, let's see what this does. Let's see how this goes. And once I feel like there's not going to be a secondary spike, then I think WWE will consider fans. Because here's the thing, if they open up an event and a bunch of people get sick at the event or from the event because they went, that's a legal liability on WWE's part. Even though there is a certain amount of personal risk involved with going to an event, knowing that this is still going on and this is still out there, but people can still sue them because, well, they can argue WWE opened the doors too early. And even if that doesn't hold any legal water, that's going to do enough damage to their reputation that it's going to be hard to recover from. So I don't know. Like, I would have to see where they're at in June, where we're all at in June, because I think it's just everybody's sort of like holding their breath right now to see how this goes, because I don't think any of us know. Mm-hmm. And that's the hardest part about that, is I don't think any of us really know.
We don't know, so we'll see. That was just a thought I had for the name.
It's a good thought. I like the thought. I think June might be a little bit premature to let fans back in.
Oh yeah, June's too early. July would be all right.
July, I think, is getting better. It's more okay. I still say that SummerSlam would probably be the best event to open the doors again. That's in August, and start letting people come back in, at least in smaller settings. But it's hard to say. Very, very hard to say.
Yeah.
But what's not hard to say is that Becky Lynch is going to be in Billions.
She'll be on the season premiere of Billions this Sunday on Showtime.
Which is pretty exciting for her.
Yeah, it'd be really pretty cool to see her in it. That's cool that she's been able to get the opportunity to branch out and into the acting world. I mean, she is the man. Now she's going to try to conquer acting, so that's pretty cool.
She's growing that name. She's growing that brand. She's getting bigger and bigger every day, so good for her. And speaking of getting bigger and bigger, MLW signed a pay-per-view deal with In Demand, so that's exciting.
That's really cool. Their pay-per-view specials that they've done on other platforms will be brought to In Demand, and when they get up and back and running, they will probably be running more events going forward. The statement goes, Major League Wrestling today announced a new distribution partnership with the manager to distribute a slate of special events starting this May, including this month. There'll be three of them in May: MLW Battle Riot 2, Saturday Night Super Fight, and the Opera Club 2019. All events will start at 8 p.m. Eastern. Learn more to go to intheman.com to find out local times in your area and cost.
So exciting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what else is exciting? I have awkward transitions, I'm sorry. What else is exciting is that WWE and 2K have announced that there will be a game this year. It's not the 2K20 or 2K series that we know and love. It's actually going to be a brand new series that has been in development, I believe, for a while, because it still has the old logo.
It just seems that way.
WWE Battlegrounds. Unless it was an intentional choice. It could have been an intentional choice.
It could have been. But yes, Battlegrounds has been announced. We kind of mentioned it last week. They're going for a more arcade style. It's sort of on the lines of like NBA 2K Playgrounds that I've played on the channel before. That more arcade style of game that the same makers are producing this game as well. We're thrilled to introduce WWE 2K Battlegrounds, a completely new gaming experience that will feature arcade style action and over the top superstar designs, environments, and moves. We're focused on a social pick up and play fun, but with plenty of depth for those who want to get away. Whether you're a casual gamer just learning the ropes or a passionate fan ready for all the action, WWE 2K Battlegrounds provides another way to enjoy WWE video game action. The game is being developed by Saber Interactive, the studio behind NBA 2K Playgrounds, who have been hard at work on WWE Battlegrounds and are excited to let you smell what they're cooking. So in the trailer that you can throw people into, you know, alligators, that was pretty awesome.
That was pretty awesome.
It's going to be an over-the-top game. Probably won't have a huge roster because there's going to probably be a lot of downloadable content, and you have to unlock a lot of people if it's like the Playground style. So we'll see how that comes about.
It'd be interesting to try.
It'll be very interesting to try. It'll be available for all major platforms. So there's that. As we mentioned last week about the 2K franchise itself, the main stuff, they've extended the production time and will not be releasing the simulation game in 2020. We want to ensure that the development team at Visual Concepts can create a game that will entertain grizzled WWE 2K veterans as well as newcomers who want to climb through the ropes and step into the ring for the very first time. We've recruited Patrick Gilmer to serve as our executive producer and lead these efforts at Visual Concepts. Patrick has over 25 years of experience in video games, reaching all the way back to Disney's Aladdin on Sega Genesis and introducing franchises like Killer Instinct, Medal of Honor, and most recently Amazon's New World. He'll be overseeing WWE 2K development, and you'll be hearing more from him and the team in the months to come.
Should be interesting.
So there you go.
There you go. And last, but certainly not least, before we get into NXT and Fortnite, I'm sure I'm the only person that really remembers him, but it's pretty exciting news for him, so I wanted to talk about it on the show. And that is Kevin Furtag, a.k.a. Kevin Thorne, a.k.a. Mordecai from way back when, not really, like 10 years ago, is a realtor now. Very active realtor. He's the real estate badass up in Indiana, and well, he is going to be featured this Sunday on House in a Hurry on HGTV. So congratulations to him. So we'll be tuning in and watching it, I don't know about Rock. But, you know, we'll see if we're going to review it or not. But yeah, that's exciting news.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Maybe we'll talk about it. We'll see.
We need content, guys. We need content.
I mean, that's sort of a thing.
No offense to Kevin. Like, none. No offense to Kevin whatsoever. We need content. So anyway, all right, do you want to do the Fortnite mode or do you want to do NXT?
Let's talk about Fortnite.
All righty. So I believe you have a fancy dancy.
What do we have? There's no fancy dancy for Fortnite.
Not fancy dancy patch notes, press release thing?
Oh, the press release thing. Oh, the press release. I thought you meant when transition. Yes, we have a press release. Just let me stay in my email. All right, Party Royale. All chill, no sweat. Party Royale is a new experimental evolving space. Leave your weapons and mats behind for this all-new Party Royale. The party's just getting started. It's cool. So it's its own little island that you get to play on. There's many different little things. You can use a plunger bow, paint grenades, whether it's a grenade bomb or the grenade launcher. They're all paint. You can cover your opponents in it. And it's basically an island full of mini games. It's parkour. It's drop zones. It's everything that does not it's quad racing, boat racing. It's everything that doesn't involve shooting.
Yeah, if you don't like the super sweaty modes, if you don't like being basically the ultra aggressive modes, this is your game. Basically, they took all the mini games, all the stupid stuff that you can do in Fortnite, and they put it onto this island. So there's like boat races. There's quad races. Like Rock said, you can jump through a rift and then you can see who can drop the fastest type things. They brought a lot of old assets back for this game. The tomato's back.
Tomato head is back.
Not the tomato back. Not the tomato head. Pete's.
They brought back Uncle Pete's, but they brought back the Darren Burger. No one likes the Darren Burger.
Are not shopping cart shenanigans, unfortunately. It's only quads and boats. They did not bring back the shopping cart yet, but that doesn't mean that it couldn't show up on the island. It's like they brought back the pirate ship. They brought back the monster skull. That's out in the ocean and you can race through it. Like they took basically all the old stuff and they're like, okay, here you go. Here's a brand new island. But they put together, I know you want the cart back, Brent, but you got to settle for this. You know, if you had been around last night, if you had been there, we would have taken you to the island, but oh no, you just have to ignore us.
I mean, he did. He ghosted us.
He totally ghosted us. We were all excited because we wanted to take Brent because the tomato's back. And where is he? He just doesn't even answer.
And Fish has his own little shop too. You shouldn't be working at 9 p.m.
You know what? Actually, the Fish technically has three shops.
I mean, true. I have work. It's not an excuse. 9 p.m. Working at 9 p.m. is not an excuse. You're supposed to cut back, dude.
Anyway. There's two theaters. There's like a concert area and then there's an actual movie theater. So I would expect that more in-game events kind of maybe shift to this area that don't involve you know, what we saw with Travis Scott, although I think they will.
There will be a special testing event tomorrow night at 9 p.m. Eastern. So if you have the Fortnites, get into the mode, apparently. That's what they say. That's what the whole big press release was.
And the coolest thing about this island, and I hope to God they bring this to creative because I want it in creative so bad, is you can change your entire outfit.
You can.
And emotes and everything on this island. You get access to your locker when you go into a phone booth, and so you can change however many times you want while you're on this island. That is cool as shit. And I know for all like the creative filmmakers that do all the stories and everything that you see on YouTube and they create that content, I know they would kill to have that in creative because that would be so cool for them. Like, we would have killed for that whenever we make the intros because we could just change. Yeah, fashion show. You can do interactive live fashion shows where you don't have to go in and out. You can just change right there in the game. Which, I don't understand fashion shows, but whatever. If it makes the Fortnite guys happy, it makes Fortnite guys happy. But also, the other really cool feature of this island is once you get, you know, when you're done, if you want to go play the regular game, whatever, you don't have to leave the mode. You can queue up into Battle Royale directly from the island. You just go to the bus, you queue up, and you're in. That, again, that is a really, really cool feature. It's basically an interactive hub island is what it is. But Epic put so much work into it. It's amazing to look at. I will say the concert's a little overpowering. It's a little loud, but it's a concert. It should be.
It should be, but it's very loud.
But yeah, if you get time, if you want to check it out, I would strongly encourage you check it out. If nothing else, to run around the island and just see it. Because I got personally very excited for the pirate ship. I was so happy it's back. I'm still happy it's back. I have, like, missed it. I've been watching, like, a bunch of old videos with the old island. And I'm like, aw, there's this place. And there's that. And I miss this. And aw. Like, I love the new map. I think it's gorgeous. But I miss parts of the old map. Like, I've been kind of, like, homesick for the old map recently. And I don't know why. So, yeah. So, Party Royale. Go check it out. Also, there is a new mode for the operations thing that's called Payload. If you did not like the elimination style, sweaty as crap mode, this is your mode. This is a lot easier. There's eight of you. It's 8v8, and you're either trying to stop a truck that's dropping something off, or you're trying to get the truck through the people that are trying to stop you. So it's a lot easier. It's a lot more fun. And if you have to get those precious intels for your challenge, this is your mode. Because there's like four rounds, and you get an intel per round. If you lose, if you win, you get two.
Brent doesn't have to miss the prison, Ash. The shark's now the prison.
Yeah, there's a prison in the game.
Yeah, prison's back.
And if he really misses it, we can take him to one of the many creative islands that have a prison on them. Because there's a lot of games.
You can just throw it in. There is a prison thing we can just throw. And we made. You made one.
We did. So, all right. NXT?
Yep, NXT.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
This was a solid show.
That's entertaining.
They took some risk on the show. First thing to note, Morrow and Beth were back on commentary along with Tom Phillips. Tom was the only one there live. The other two were remote, but they got the commentary in.
But you know what? Honestly, I didn't even mind it. Like, I didn't really miss it. I didn't really mind it in terms of them not being there live. Like, I'm kind of okay with them doing the commentary remote because they essentially do the commentary remote anyway because they're watching monitors versus watching the match. So it's not that much different.
Especially with it being taped, it's easier to work it in. So they got that set up. So your opening contest with a Group B matchup for the Interim NXT Cruiserweight Championship. Isaiah Swerve Scott versus El Hijo del Fantasma. As Mara made a Travis Scott reference when Isaiah came out via Fortnite. Yep, that's the moment you knew Mara was back. Pop culture references.
And he has kids, so he's probably been dealing with Fortnite.
In a surprise, Isaiah Scott got the win over El Hijo del Fantasma. During it, we also saw during the break that El Fantasma got attacked, or was attempted to be attacked by, you know, the hooded men.
So the Lucha ninjas are back. They're trying to kidnap him in a half-hearted effort. I mean, he's trying. He's trying to hide the fact that it's him that's sending these guys, maybe. But, you know, I think he might actually be sending them. But this was good. I liked the shit talk in this.
Yeah, it was good.
like, I really, really like this. This was entertaining. I wouldn't mind seeing this again. Also, Jordan Devlin is super salty that this is going on.
As he should be. We had Dominik Dijakovic in the back. He talked about Johnny Gargano whining about being disrespected. He said he's learned from his family to respect those who came before him. We had Gargano on the right, show no respect. He said he's going to wonder if Gargano's going to back up his word when he fights a man twice his size next week. Interesting.
Don't bring size into this. Don't start that shit with Johnny Gargano. Just don't. Let's not.
Speaking of the wrestlings, Candice, along with her husband Johnny Gargano, made their way to the ring as she took on Casey Catanzaro. Digging Johnny as the manager in the manager role for Candice. He did the intro and everything for her. It was good.
I really like it. I'm really enjoying it so far. And like I said, this is Candice's coming out party. Johnny can really help her, not that she needs it, sort of get a really firm footing. I loved her gear. I love the whole look. I love everything about this. Please, more. And they were like even strolling around backstage after she beat up Casey Catanzaro. And she's like, eh, bye. Good try. Good try.
You tried. Oh, honey, you tried. And then she, you know, we then had, I guess, is the best way to, the newly bro show.
Okay, the best part of this, legit, honestly, best part of this, Byron Saxton.
Byron
made this.
He was very over the top. A lot of drug references were made, including he doesn't do speed.
Good to know.
And Timmy Thatcher played the straight man really well in this. But they were attacked by Fabian Iger and Mark. Afterwards, and they stood tall after they took out both men. Good stuff.
It was very good. It was very entertaining. Like, they're trying to find very creative ways to sort of fill time, and this was a very creative way to do this. They had the graphics and everything. It was wonderful.
Byron was his best Carlton.
And that suit. Can we just talk about that suit?
That was a good suit.
Like, I don't know where he got that from, but that thing is just nice. It was shiny. It was very cool.
Adam Cole says he will fight a Velveteen Dream next week for the championship.
I mean, this goes without saying, but Adam Cole has very nice shiny teeth.
Did you know his wife's a dentist? Or his girlfriend's a dentist?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, that's why he probably takes really good care of his teeth. I mean, she's a dentist.
Brent, stop and get his food on the way.
Anyway, up next... It was NXT Women's Champion Charlotte taking on Mia Yim in a non-title match.
Okay, I have to say this, and it's going to be a little mean, but I have to say it. Charlotte had on way too much eye makeup. Like, way too much eyeshadow. Like, they showed her walking into the building, and it was, like, kind of twilight out. And she looked beautiful. She looked gorgeous walking into the building, except she kind of had her lids lowered a little bit. And all you saw was, like, the dark eyeshadow, so it looks like she just had two sockets in her head. Like, lay off the dark eyeshadow. It's fine. It's a little bit goes a long way. Like, I respect the effort that they're experimenting with her makeup, because they always do, and the Glam Squad always does a wonderful job, but for the love of God, lay off the dark eyeshadow, please. Please. Don't be a bit too much.
This was a really good match, though.
This was a fantastic match. And you can see that the sharks are starting to circle around Charlotte, that the women's division is, you know, coming around and not as afraid of Charlotte as I think she would want them to be, because Mia's hungry for the title. You had Io Shirai show up.
They will fight next week for the championship.
And I'm imagine Candice LeRae is kind of lurking around the corner too, as they build her up. And yeah, so Charlotte may have built NXT, but that I just kind of wonder if she can. I'm sure she can, you know, hang in NXT too.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Dexter Lumis took on Shane Thorne. Thoughts on Shane Thorne's entrance?
I hate Shane Thorne's entrance. I hate it so bad, and I hate saying that because I know somebody worked very hard on it. But can we just talk about overlaying the picture? Like, I'm sorry, it just looks like a 1998 GeoCities site. It does. You have the spiral gold yellow thing going on in the background, and it's spinning, and then just superimposed over that graphic is this rectangle with his name that has this cool little thing coming up between his name. Like, his name and the thing, the logo or whatever the crap little decor thing it is, that comes up between his first and his last name is really nice, and it's really nicely done. But it's itty bitty teeny tiny, and it's superimposed over the spinning graphic. It's almost like this was like a group project, and one person did a really, really good job, and another person's like, hey, I did a Google search in 10 minutes, and this is what I found, and then they went, and that's what they came up with. And I know there was a lot of work that it went into this, so I still feel really bad talking shit about it, but it's just, I hate that so much, and I really want to fix it. Like, I really, really, really want to fix it.
So, Dexter Lumis won via referee stoppage as he passed out, made Shane Thorne pass out.
But on the upside, one, Dexter Lumis has a fire graphic for his entrance. Two, he believes in aftercare, which is important, y'all. If you're going to play rough, you need to have aftercare.
In a Group A match in the Interim Cruiserweight Championship Tournament, you had Drake Maverick and Tony Nese. Drake got the win.
I was so happy Drake got a win. I was so, so happy he got a win. This was a great match. Both men looked good. I don't really have a lot of complaints about this. Drake is fired up. He's motivated. I am behind Drake Maverick. I think a lot of people are. So if they're trying to, like, secretly make Drake Maverick by all of us thinking he got fired, good job, because I think we're all buying into it.
And if you've ever listened to the show for the last however long, we've always been a Drake Maverick Spud fan. We've been behind Spud since day one.
Team Spud.
Team Spud, all the way back to the Impact. And your main event, North American Championship, Keith Lee and Damian Priest. Pretty good match. Keith Lee retained.
I enjoyed this. I enjoyed the crap out of this. I found it very entertaining. I think the best part of it was that Damian goes to hit him with the baton thing. And Keith Lee's just like,
nope.
No. I fall for that one time. And then he just, like, beats up Damian Priest and, like, rips the baton out of his hand. And, yeah, that was a great little moment in the match. But, yeah, I enjoyed this. I thought this was very well done.
It was a very effective show.
So, I think that does it for NXT. What do you think?
It sounds good to me. I say we take a break and come back and do more stuff.
All right. So, when we come back, guys, we are going to have Tweet of the Week. And then we are talking 25 years of Triple H. So gear up your favorite Triple H memories, because we're going to break out the movement. We're going to talk about him because everybody else is. So you'll see the rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back. All hail.
From the place where the traitor lost both his name and his face. Through the halls and the corridors, stinking in blood.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night, midnight to Houston, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns,
maybe I have one more ass kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in.
devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last.
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey, y'all, you want to get social with The Rack? Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/rackradioshow.
Did you know you can use support a creator code, Rock and Sock, in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and you're listening to Rack Radio.
Pinkies out, y'all. Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. I greatly appreciate it, and so does Rock. We are back from the break. We are all classy.
It's very,
very classy.
It's a very relaxing song.
I mean, it's I like it. It's very Regency-esque.
It's
Austin-esque.
It's his
Jane, not Steve.
That's, yeah. It's his first theme in WWE.
Very. The Blue Blood. Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
The Grinted Snob.
And boy, did he have the nose to be a snob. Anyway!
Heyo.
Anyway, Tweet of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on my space until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty. WWE tweeted out, it's Sonya Deville's time now. Hashtag SmackDown. And it's her basically saying, my time to be the star. Mandy Rose replies, right, coming from the people who blurred her out of my entrance. Sonya responds, I don't need no hype train, honey. I don't have to be the teacher's pet. Always underestimated, never overrated. Take notes. Hashtag Daddy DeVille.
Ooh.
Mandy responds, never overrated? You're only like the fourth person trying to make people call you daddy. Corey Graves chimes in and goes, to be fair, I called her that first. Oh, wait, no, I'm sorry. The tweets are out of order. Sonya responded, but you're right. The first person to call yourself a creation of God. And that's when Corey's like, to be fair, I did it first. I mean, he did. He definitely did.
Yeah.
Laserbeam. I got clapped, but at least I didn't leak a code.
Damn, son. True.
Ninja respond, and then he tweets out, "I'll always have this. I didn't have Fresh to carry me," and it's a thumbnail picture of Laserbeam versus Ninja in Fortnite, where they're, I believe they were doing a rock, paper, scissors tournament.
They did a rock, paper, scissors tournament last weekend. Mr. Beast did. They raised like over $1 million for charity. And yeah, it was the first round was Ninja versus Laserbeam.
And Ninja replies, "Can you tweet me a super sad, depressing picture of you for my clickbait thumbnail?"
Because, you know, Latin and Laserbeam is all about the clickbait.
All about it.
And everyone's all about clickbaiting Ninja.
I mean, you do what you gotta do. Tanner James Amsden. "Trevor May, why are you a playable character in Predator Hunting Grounds?" And he is. He's a playable character, like, down to, like, the chin and everything. It's kind of uncanny how what the resemblance is. And Trevor May responds, "Bro, I'm a unit!"
I mean, he is. He's Trevor May. Go.
Basler, because of her ferocity, hashtag dogs, hashtag puppy, hashtag dogs at Twitter, and it's this adorable little shepherd puppy.
Read that again.
Named her Basler after Shayna Baszler because of her raw ferocity.
Okay.
Shayna Baszler responds, "Get ready for everyone to hate her because she's better than them."
Okay.
Renee Young, "John's trying to vacuum fruit flies out of the air. How's your night going?" She responds with, "Me, think you got any?" Him, "No, they just move away." John Moxley and John Good are two completely different people.
They are.
I kind of love them both. Nikki Cross, "About to go to bed. Does anyone else seriously check their locks like 10 times for every door, then triple check all the candles are blown out, and then make sure the doors are all locked, then check the candles are definitely out? Now I'm just wandering around in a circle downstairs."
Yeah.
"I don't check candles, but I do check my locks frequently, like at least 3 times before I go to bed. I do that." And Killian Dane responds, "She used to be so flippant. Damo will do it!" I love them. I really do. I love them as a married couple. They're adorable.
They're great.
He was like putting videos out on Instagram of him working out, and like he's like, "I tried to get a really good shot of it, but I failed. So here you go. Here's the best I got." And she like chimed in. She's like, "Why didn't you tell me I was you were filming? I would have come helped or been a nuisance or both." And he's like, "This is why I don't tell you I film."
Me, yeah.
Like, aw, y'all are so cute. Anyway, that's all I have.
Dan Graziano. "Harbaugh either really loved that pick or just found a great deal on a new birdhouse on Amazon. Reactions to the draft were great. Speaking of the draft, there's a new meme. It's Roger Goodell in his chair. And Natalie Eganoff goes, 'Good evening. Welcome to Masterpiece Theater.'"
Yeah.
Tyron Johnson. "Eagles have a great punter. Gotta think that's where they're going with number 103. Hashtag NFL draft. Laserbeam. I only lost to force Ninja to donate $10,000 to charity. I'm such a good guy. Twitter. DMs are fine. She just hasn't responded."
Ooh.
Brian Gewirtz. "November 2009 on WWE Plane and proudly remarked to Vince that's my 10-year anniversary in the company. Triple H waits a beat, smiles, and then says, 'Corresponds perfectly with the downfall of the business. Congrats, Triple H. Hashtag Triple H 25. This next one's audio. Conan O'Brien had a take on essential business.
"Yes, essential. And so it has continued. The WWE has continued throughout this crisis, and we thought someone should tip their cap to the good folks at the WWE. Take a look.
Day after day, we're watching heroes risk their health and safety to keep the rest of us going strong. Doctors, nurses, grocery workers, delivery people, and professional wrestlers. Those selfless gladiators who elbow smash, cross chop, and clothesline each other day after day for our amusement. Frontline heroes like Mojo Rawley, Roman Reigns, Natalia, and Sasha Banks. Choking each other out so the rest of us can breathe a little easier. Thank you for your service, WWE. And thank you, Florida. Once again, you've out-Florida'd yourself."
I mean. True. And finally, Dr. Lupo. "One of the unspoken responsibilities of fatherhood is cleaning up what's left after a bird full speed collides with your recently washed windows when they attempt to fly through like a damn portal to the sky. Birds don't know about glass."
How big was the bird? Because, like, I've seen a bird hit glass. They generally don't disintegrate.
I don't know. There's no proof. He never put proof of it on the internet, so I couldn't tell you.
I don't think he can. I think it violates TOS on at least two social platforms.
It may be on his own OnlyFans account. Who knows?
Maybe Dr. Lupo sexily cleaning up the leftovers of a bird.
Anyway, that's Tweet of the Week.
That's Tweet of the Week. All right, guys. So we're going to talk about him because it is the 25th anniversary of Triple H in WWE. That's right. 25 years with 25 more to go, at least, because he's going to be there for the rest of his life, which is totally fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But yeah, so that we've been reliving some of Hunter's greatest moments, some of his worst moments. We've been playing the music for you all night. And we've sort of seen the evolution of Triple H this past week on Raw and SmackDown. And it's been interesting to see how he went from the Greenwich snob to the King of Kings and all the history in between. But nothing tops what happened on SmackDown this past week.
Oh, and I'm really
sad that more people were not able to be involved in this.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very sad too, but it was a roast of Triple H on SmackDown.
I am going to request this, not that WWE listens to this show or gives any crap about anything I think or say, but when this is all over and we are all able to get back together again and you're able to get the entire roster in one room again, I would like to formally request an actual roast of Triple H. I would watch the shit out of that. You just sit him up in a chair in the center and you just let him go.
So, one, I want that to happen. Two, we just need to revisit something from SmackDown. So, just listen.
You know, when you, is he like that? You weren't that good. Yeah.
So they relived Hunter's WrestleMania moments and it's loss after loss after loss after loss after loss. It was tremendous. Anyway, continues.
How many losses you have at WrestleMania?
This isn't about me. Focus.
You know, to be serious for a second, it does make me want to thank a lot of people because I had so many incredible athletes to work with in this ring. Night after night, year after year. The Rock, Austin, The Undertaker, Batista, Foley, Orton, you. I mean, it was incredible. And without those people, for me to be in the ring with my career would be nothing. It really
look, I think all those people probably feel the same way as you do. I mean, they feel fortunate to have, I know I do, to have had the opportunity to share this ring with you. And let's face it, it was because of all those moments that your career began to take off. And then, of course, you know, there was that little bit of a hiccup in all of it when you met her, that girl. Stephanie Novun. I mean, Jiminy Cricket. Don't do this, honey, did. Jeez, I mean, you talk about...
Sorry, just hold on. Hey, honey.
Hi, baby.
How are you?
I'm good. You know, I'm watching your 25th anniversary celebration, and it's so incredible, and everything you deserve, and then Sean starts talking about me.
Oh,
Stephanie
Nofun? No. Sean wasn't getting on you, honey. I wasn't.
I see him right now. Like, I'm watching live right now, and I can see him.
No, he's not. He's not.
He's mocking me.
No.
I saw that. You tell that no good, lazy eye.
No good.
Hunter spouses fighting on live national television. You have to love it.
It's the best. Like, Stephanie Nofun.
Like I said, I want the formal roast because then it just gets topped because in a rare appearance, we got Vince No Fucks McMahon.
Yeah.
Who just came out. It was like, I don't care anymore, and just proceeded to just go. And he ends the show by throwing Hunter and Sean out of the PC and just shutting the show down because they're killing the show. They're weighing the show down. It's terrible. It's awful. Get out. Get out of my building. And then he just walks off. Like, it was just entertaining. It was just pure entertainment because it's just Hunter and Sean with special appearance by Stephanie and Vince McMahon just cutting up and having a good time, and Sean giving Hunter complete crap, which we all know happens all the time.
So some fun facts about that segment. Number one, apparently there's him and Hunter were the only ones who knew that was like a joke segment, supposedly. Number two, and Sean wasn't gonna throw anyone under the bus, but there was supposed to be more that was supposed to be done during that segment. Meaning there were probably more jokes and more people supposed to be involved in it, and just didn't happen. So sad.
Part of me really wishes, like really, really wishes, especially now that they can get away with it, that they got Taker involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And they had Taker call in. Like, I don't know why, but I just, Taker has such, like, you could tell he has a very wicked sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And when they let Taker do comedy, it's really good. It's really hysterically good.
It is. So, a couple good things from that segment was, one, Hunter's not being able to do his entrance.
That was hysterical. that you have Hunter come out, and he's like standing there with the bottle, right? And of course, you know, social distancing, and you can't spit, and all these other different things. As he's standing there, he's surveying the empty building, and he's getting ready to do his spit take. Just random crew walks by, bumps into Hunter, grabs his water bottle, walks off, and Hunter just stands there very confused. Like, oh, damn it.
Like, god damn it.
Also, can we talk about Hunter's shoes and how absolutely amazingly comfortable they look?
I mean, yeah, they look comfortable. Oh, and number two was Sean's social distancing joke. Got two words for you. Social distancing. And he shoved Hunter aside. It's like, well played. Well played. But Hunter has comfy shoes. I mean, he's on his feet all the time, so he might as well have comfy shoes.
Yeah, you can tell that Hunter is getting away from the suits, even though I'm sure he still has to wear them. And he's doing much more casual dress down Hunter, where he's still the corporate guy, but he's a little bit more comfortable and he's a little bit more chill. And this is his level of corporate. I love that so much. Like, I just liked everything about this. I thought this was super entertaining, but
Katie Vick. They brought up Katie Vick. That was,
they did bring up Katie Vick.
But then Vince went into details about Katie Vick,
which we didn't need to know.
No, but it was great. The whole segment was great. And it was like, it was a great, the ending where Vince threw the mat and all you hear is crickets, and that was good. And Vince going, you know, the fans go, Triple H, Triple H. Well, mainly just, you know, your family who comes for the pay-per-views in the front row, and everyone else goes, boring.
No, the best was the crickets, and Sean's like, story of your whole career right here, buddy.
Story
of your whole career.
Yeah, at the end, yeah.
That was great. It's like, fuck. Like, that's how you do that. That's how you do a 25th anniversary for Hunter, is you just cut up. Like, because that's the whole serious tribute thing. I don't think he wanted that, especially right now. It's like, you know, just, can we just do something stupid? Can we just have some fun with it?
And then Sean going off, yeah, you know, but what about my 25th anniversary? He talked about his, and well, you know, what was your favorite part, Hunter? What was your favorite part? And it's like, that's right, because there was no 25-year celebration.
Taker got one. Taker's going to get a 30th, probably.
Probably. He's already, isn't Taker past 30 years?
I think he's 30 this year.
Yeah, 30 would be this year's Survivor Series.
It's either this year or it's next year he would be 30.
He would be 30.
So Taker's probably going to get like a 30th, something for his 30th anniversary. I mean, you would almost kind of have to, unless he just doesn't want to do anything for it.
And they may not want to, but I don't know. To me, humor is humor. Whether you like it or not, I don't care. I did. I loved it. I thought it was really good. And it's like, in a time where we're all very serious about everything, having some fun in wrestling is not a bad thing. And, you know, humor, some people don't like that humor. That's fine. To me, it was really well done, and it was a great fitting tribute to Hunter.
It was. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed this, and that's why I keep saying it's like, I want a full version when everything's over, you know, and it's all said and done, and we can all return to a level of normal, and we can all return to a level of social gathering again. I would love for them to do a formal roast of Triple H.
It should be a series on the network, the WWE roast. Like, you could actually get away with a lot of stuff.
You could. You really could. It would be great content. It would be wonderful content.
I mean, it's like a type of Hall of Fame thing. You put the main eventer into a roast segment. I mean, that'd be gold every year.
That'd be awesome. I mean, there might be some damaged egos.
Some people may be a little too sensitive, but...
But at the same time, some people wouldn't, so...
The people who want it deserve to be roasted. I would love a Shawn roast, a Taker roast. I mean, those things to me would be...
I don't know if you could get Taker to do that. I have a funny feeling he takes himself fairly seriously.
You don't say.
So, I don't know if you could,
I said I would love it. Doesn't mean he would do it.
Oh, yeah. I would totally love it. I would love the hell out of it if they were to roast Taker. But that doesn't mean that they're going to do it. Like, I just... That man takes, just based on the little clips that we saw, takes himself seriously, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Also, can we talk about Triple H's haircut that was on Wednesday and then turned to actual haircut on Friday?
Yeah, they cleaned him up. They cleaned him and Shawn up. Like, I had to laugh because you could tell who was at TV this past week just based on who got cleaned up, because they were able to get the Maestros guys to come in and do trims and everything for all the people, and all the girls had their nails done and everything like that. So it was very interesting about that. Which, I mean, good on him.
Good on him.
So, but yeah, his hair in the one interview. God,
it
was so bad.
It was so bad on the bump. It really was.
Oh, man. He's all gray. It's so sad.
It is.
I'm like, oh, Hunter. Oh, please don't ever grow your hair out ever again.
I don't think it was by choice.
No, it's definitely not by choice. It's definitely not by choice. But it's like, just seeing that, even though it's the awkward hair growth phase, like, still it's like, oh, that's no. Just... No. Don't ever grow it out again.
But yeah, that was the Triple H 25 year special. I thought it was really good.
So since we're celebrating 25 years of Triple H, what's your favorite Triple H moment?
Oh god, there's so many. Everything in DX, the Evolution stuff. I don't have one. Because there's too many of the name. Like, him and Shawn okay, so... When Shawn made his big comeback in 2002, Hunter's turn was tremendous. Where he set him up for the pedigree, that was so perfect. Like, Hunter series is great, but whenever Hunter does comedy, he has some great timing. Especially when he plays off of Shawn. Like, to me, they're a great dynamic duo. Everything from the DX stuff early on, all the dick humor and stuff, to the goofy PG comedy they would do. When they run around with Hornswoggle and all the Christmas little vignettes they would do. It was great stuff. But, like, a Hunter moment is, like, there's, I don't know, there's too many to, like, name for Hunter. Like, you have, and a lot of it ties to DX, which, like, they're all sort of DX moments where they're Hunter moments. But when Hunter beat Foley for the title with Shane's help, that was a cool moment. The K-Fix and stuff, not so much. But Hunter was really great with the promo. As we all know. So, yeah, I don't know. Name one for you.
I just remember when he came back at the Rumble after his quad injury.
Oh, it was like the Raw before the Rumble.
Yeah, like, and he came back and just the roof went off that building because he'd been gone for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was always tremendous. I always liked it when he worked with Steph.
Early Steph stuff, that was...
That was good. That was really, really good. And I actually liked him. I liked him in The Authority. I thought he did a wonderful job with that.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
There you go.
Because as good as he is for you for comedy, and I love comedic Hunter. I love smart-ass, smarky
Hunter.
That's
more of it. Smart-ass Hunter.
I like him when he's smart, like snarky. That's when he's at his best. Mm-hmm. But I really love it when he's just asshole heel Hunter. Not when he's like the cowardly heel, but when he's just an asshole. Because he's so good at it. Like, just him and the authority and being that maniacal Machiavellian mastermind and just doing everything that he was doing, like, that was just, oh, that was so good.
And then you brought up Steph, and then my brain goes, oh yeah, the wedding.
The
Vegas wedding where he drugged Stephanie McMahon and he would do the voices of her. I do! And stuff like that.
That was like the game-changing thing for him.
And for her.
And for her, yeah. I mean, it's like Taker tried to marry her.
Didn't work.
And then Tess tried to marry her. That didn't work.
And it's like, Hunter's brought out the evil Stephanie McMahon, and then she just, the two of them together were gold in 2000. Like, they had it. Some people hated it, but they had it. And they still do. But that early stuff, and when she was just so fresh and new to everything, yeah.
Yeah. And then later on, as the years have progressed, they've just gotten better and better and better. And then when it all became real and they actually got married and we were all like,
We're kind of screwed now.
It's like, oh, okay, all right, cool, go Hunter. Married into the family. Good for you, dude.
Good job.
Good for you. Like, I don't know. I feel like Hunter has brought a lot. He's had his annoying times and he hasn't always been fantastic in some stuff that he's done. It's not been good, Kitty Vick, but that's okay.
It's okay. It's all good.
Like, so I have to say this about that feud. Up until the whole thing at the funeral home, the incident at the home, it was actually a really good feud. Where it took a really hard, bad turn was when they went to the funeral home and they did what they did at the funeral home. But beyond that, before it, the feud was actually really good because it was him and Kane. And I think it was really, at least for me, when I was watching, because that was when I was still relatively new to wrestling, that was one of the first times that they really like dove into Kane's past for me. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool because they're talking about kind of what happened to Kane in that interim, which then led to Kane shaving his head and looking like Cindy Lou Who. And then walking around with that goddamn towel on his head for a year. And I think people got lit on fire in that time.
They were.
And he attempted to kill his brother.
He did.
I mean, you know, it was a thing. It was a whole thing. But that led to another great moment that we're not talking about because this isn't about Kane. This is about Triple H. But yeah, I always feel like the Katie Vick feud up until a point was really good. And then it just took a really hard turn. And then after that, it's like, I can't do this. Like, I actually had to stop watching wrestling for a while because I just could not deal with what they were doing. Because it's like, that's disgusting. That's one of the few times that I can remember turning the show off and walking away and not watching it after that for like a couple weeks. But yeah, I mean, Hunter's overall contribution from what he did in his career and beyond, you know, what he does with NXT now, how he's behind the future of the industry, how he's revamped developmental. He's Papa Hunter now. Like, he believes in the future of the company. He's ready to lead the company into the future. I think all that is commendable. And yeah, I know it's like he's won the 20 billion titles that he's won because he's married to the boss's daughter. And he's always going to have that asterisk next to his name. I don't think that's necessarily true. Because while Hunter married in the family, I feel like he's put in every bit as much hard work as we all believe he has.
Mm-hmm.
He worked his ass off to get there. There was the whole click incident and he had to prove himself after that. There was a long road before he ever married Stephanie.
Oh yeah.
And that's the thing. And there's been a long road since he's married Stephanie. But yeah, I honestly can't imagine WWE without him. Is that weird?
No, it's not weird. Because it's like, true. It's true.
I feel like he's had that strong of an impact on the company that like it's just hard to imagine the company without him. Especially in like 2003, like 2000 to 2003, like he was so integral in that time. And then 2003 and beyond, where he kind of, that's when he really picked up the mantle and he kind of ran with it.
Yeah, when all the guys left, he took the ship. And after, you know, I know he missed a year in 2000 for majority of 2001 because he was the quad. And then later on, he missed some time because of the quad. But beyond that, he was there. And the one thing about him And that's all. He's been very injury prone throughout his career. Like, all his big runs have always had some sort of injury attached, whether it's been the quads, and he always had bad knees. Like, back in the early Attitude Era stuff, he was always struggling with knee injuries, which sucked, but he made it through. But, you know, he's had a long, successful career, and it's great that he's still around and he's doing stuff. And some people cringe when he gets on TV. Some people love it. I absolutely love it because, you know, Triple H movement. So I can't wait for him to actually go in the Hall of Fame on his own.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that day. I really want to see Hunter go in on his own because, love him or hate him, I feel he has earned it. You know, all the titles aside, the contributions that he's made to the business, to the industry as a whole, some of them good, some of them not good, are Hall of Fame worthy on their own, because Hunter has a vision for the business, for the industry, where he wants to take it forward.
Oh yeah.
And that is absolutely commendable, because he wants to see WWE, but more importantly, he wants to see the wrestling business survive.
Who doesn't?
It's kind of a thing, y'all. We all want to see it survive.
I mean, if you read the internet, some people don't.
Well, that's their opinion, and they're welcome to it.
Because, you know, wrestling's bad, wrestling's awful, yada, yada, yada. You know the deal.
It's subjective.
It's very subjective.
So, anyway, I think that does it for us. What do you think?
I would agree.
So, all right, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Time to play the game. Saturday night, midnight-ish, time to play the game. Greater Than Great Debate, greatergreatdebate.com, SuperLive.com. That's 2 days before the 4th we'll be with you. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio previews Money in the Bank, 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to do our preview of Money in the Bank. Direct Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can catch the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, you name it. It's there. Stitcher, Spotify. Just search the Direct Radio Show. By the way, if you have Amazon Prime, link your Twitch account, spell Twitch Prime, you can subscribe for free by hitting the purple rectangular button above the screen. Just do the thing, or subscribe. Just do it because you like us. Just do the thing. Also, use credit code ROCKETSTOCK in the Fortnite item shop, hashtag ad, hashtag epic partner. And also follow at Wild Talk Radio and facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias and on Twitch at Linsward, LNSWRD. So please go follow my channel. We are trying to get to affiliates so I can give you guys a custom emote of fish butts. It's important that we get there, so please go follow the channel. I will begin begin streaming again. I can speak, I swear to God I can. And it will probably start this Saturday. Tested the internet today. It worked out okay. There were no drop frames. There was no anything like that. So I think we are good to go for Saturday evening. So check that out. I'm not streaming tonight, but you can still go over to my channel and watch because I'm hosting Rock if you want. And you can follow the channel. And if you do, I really greatly appreciate it. But if you just come and hang out, that's fine too. Everybody is welcome. And while you're checking things out, please go check out our very fun sponsor, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. And see all the wonderful things that he's doing over there. So we are going to take another break. We're going to gather up the squad. We're going to see if Brent brought our food, because that's important. I hope he got tacos. And when we come back, we are going to be doing Fortnite with friends. So till then, you've been listening to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you in a few. Bye!
Time to play the game! WildTalkRadio.com